Recent storms have brought several tornadoes to Pennsylvania. Accurately predicting these destructive events is crucial, and AI may be able to help. Forecasters have been using AI's data power to predict weather for only a few years, so they're still learning what it can do versus traditional forecasting models that rely on physics. Pittsburgh Public Source's Oliver Morrison recently reported on how forecasters in Pittsburgh have been using AI to predict tornadoes. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Can you just give me a little primer on how weather is predicted traditionally versus with AI?
Actually, it's really very interesting. What they do is they kind of divide the globe up into all these different little squares. And whenever someone measures a weather, like the temperature or humidity or wind speed all across the globe, they put that into a model that kind of predicts what the temperature, humidity will be in each of those little squares. And then what they do is take all that data, all those measurements, and they put them into these equations that model fluid dynamics. So what happens when, you know, the wind blows at this temperature in this direction at this time, and try and sort of like, just based on what they know about physics and mathematics, figure out where the weather is going to go next, what will happen next.
And how is AI different?
Some of the models in particular, they don't even need to know about physics at all. They just look at the history of weather. So what they're doing is they're taking every single weather measurement that's ever been had for some of the biggest models and all across the globe, and just looking statistically, like when you have this kind of a measurement in this kind of place in relation to all these other similar kinds of measurements, what kind of weather tends to come out on the other side of it? And so it's just basically statistics. And so one of the advantages to that is that they can, if there's anything that's slightly off or slightly misweighted about the traditional weather models, like the AI don't know about those problems. They just know about the statistics. So sometimes the AI models can pick up on things that our traditional models miss.
Why is predicting tornadoes especially difficult?
Tornadoes happen in the lower atmosphere, and the lower atmosphere is just a lot more unpredictable. So like you can think of like when you're flying in a plane high up in the air, you might get a little bit of turbulence, but it's pretty stable. But because the sun is heating the earth just above the lower atmosphere, it creates all these like bubbles of heat and air moving around really quickly and swirling. And that's where tornadoes happen. Well, they tend to happen in these big supercell storms, but in the lower parts of them. So the wind has to be blowing in perpendicular directions in different parts of the storm, and just the exact kind of way for the funnel to flip over and then start doing the damage that we're familiar with a tornado.
So how can AI prediction models help there?
I think the thing to start off with is to say, like, where are they being most helpful now? And right now, they're being most helpful sort of in their longer term predictions. So because they're really good at sucking in lots and lots of data and making these predictions, when you have a longer term model over a bigger area, it can make pretty good predictions. And it's been able to sort of predict tornadoes that might be coming in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days out into the future that would be very difficult for regular models to do. So that's where they've been mostly very successful. They're starting to have a little bit more success by looking directly at like things like satellite images or images of clouds and things like that, and feeding a bunch of them into their models, training them to see like what kinds of clouds turn into tornadoes. Longer term, the thing that needs to happen more is they need to have more measurements in that lower atmosphere. Like right now, one of the main reliable measurements they do is if you go out to Moon Township twice a day, they'll put up a weather balloon and they'll measure all the things that they need to understand what's going on with the weather. But it's just not very specific to the local weather conditions, which change much more rapidly. These weather balloons are oftentimes spread out by many dozens of miles. And so there's just not that precise measurements they need. So some people are starting to look at things like a kind of drone that would give them more frequent measurements in the lower atmosphere.
How has AI been used recently for tornado forecasting in Pittsburgh?
One of the interesting examples I heard about was in May of 2024. The forecasters saw this really what seems like to us a small chance of tornadoes, like only 3 to 5% of a chance in the kind of greater Pittsburgh area. But when they looked at the traditional weather models, they didn't see anything that they thought could lead to tornadoes. So they just thought, this is like crazy. Like, you know, we're not going to do anything with this. But what happened twice in 1 week was that actually several very small tornadoes showed up, and a couple of them like threw boats across a lake. So they were not big tornadoes, but they were real. And this was part of the evolution of how some of our local forecasters are starting to learn about what AI can do and how they can use it in their forecasting. So now, earlier this year in April, when similar kinds of weather conditions came and they saw that warning in the AI models, they didn't just immediately discount it. They thought about, well, okay, there's a chance this could happen. Now, if any of a bunch of little things changes, it might not happen. They had extra staffing there. They had people looking at the radars that day to check to see if there were tornadoes developing. They were prepared this time in a way that they weren't.
AI hasn't really been used for weather forecasting for very long.
Yeah, some of the models that are most widely cited are just 2 or 3 years old. And many of the most of the biggest ones by companies like Google or Microsoft are even newer than that. Google just came out with a new one last year.
Are there downsides to using AI prediction models for this kind of forecasting?
Well, a lot of the people in the weather space are really like researchers who really care about just getting weather forecasting better. But now that AI is a part of the equation, a lot of these big companies like Google and Microsoft and NVIDIA, they're all trying to do this as well. And while they've made some great advances, apparently, they also are not all sharing all of their models and how they're made. And that's a real departure or a real change from how the weather community has worked. Like one of the researchers I talked to said, like, we even share our weather data with Russia, and Russia shares their weather data with us. There's this real history of it being like a pure science that should be open. And so, you know, they have some of the big companies have shared some of their models and some of their data. And so it's not totally a closed system, but they are a little bit worried that, you know, as the economics enter the equation, that it'll be harder for it to be the public good that it has been in the past.
What questions did this story leave you with?
Well, one of the things that I thought was interesting is that it's helpful to differentiate between like the AI that people commonly think about in terms of like the big language models, which are requiring massive data centers and having huge environmental costs and things like that. The people that I talked to for this said that these models are very small. So although it may seem like every weather data point in the history of the world is a lot compared to like all of the words on the internet, it's quite small. And a lot of them are doing their work on a single laptop, which is one of the reasons that's made it more economical is that, you know, they actually can process this information a lot faster than it would have been able to be done before. I think it's just helpful to keep in mind that there are, like, we think of AI as this sort of monolithic thing that is having, you know, that we can't stop and that's having all these different consequences and people are making money off it. And this is using a lot of the same like statistical models, the same kind of computer chips, but it's much smaller. It's much more tightly focused and really like to use this to predict weather, at least so far, doesn't require those kinds of resources. Now, that could change if as they add more and more satellite imagery, more and more computers, more and more measurements. Maybe, I don't know if it would ever get to the point, you know, that we're getting with the language models. But right now it's like, you know, like some of the downsides that people worry about with AI aren't really a consideration with the kind of AI models they're using for tornado prediction.
And you can see the upside here, which is warning people about their safety.
Right. Yeah. And one of the potential benefits that I heard about is that one of the things that a lot of AI researchers are looking into is how these weather models could intersect with other kinds of systems like public safety alert systems. So it might be really hard to very quickly notice the tornado, then send out like, you know, 1,500 different messages to different types of phones in your community based on how close the tornado might be to you and how quickly you should move and that kind of thing. Whereas with AI, you might be able to automate some of that so that people are going to be able to get faster warnings or more precise warnings that would allow people to take these warnings more seriously. You know, that again, it's still, this is research that is very new. And so they're not really exactly sure where it's going to go, but there's a lot of hope that it could increase safety over the long term.
Thank you so much, Oliver.
Thank you for having me.
Oliver Morrison reports for Pittsburgh's Public Source.